You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Last week, Conservation Minister Tama Pōtaka announced that the government would be removing a clause from the Conservation Amendment Bill that permitted expanding the sale of conservation land. The decision followed multiple weeks of pressure from members of the public, environmental activists, and political parties, who claimed that the change would open pathways to selling large portions of Aotearoa's natural landscapes. Earlier this month also saw the government backtrack on another bill, the Fisheries Amendment Bill. Among other changes, the bill would have reduced restrictions on overfishing and disallowed members of the public from accessing footage from shipping vessels. Lastly, recent polls have seen centre-left political party Opportunity polling close to or above the 5% threshold. With Opportunity spending much of its campaign period targeting the Green Party, it's unclear what a coalition between the two could look like. For this week's catch-up with the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March, I asked about each of these issues, beginning with changes to the Conservation Amendment Bill. I want to start off today with the Conservation Amendment Bill. There's been a lot of protest from the Greens in particular and some activist groups and members of the public about the proposals that were made in this bill. And then we saw a change announced to remove one of the key clauses around the sale of conservation land. Are the Greens happy with this change, or is there still more to be done in your view?
The Green Party is calling for the complete end to this bill. I think this shows that public pressure has worked to support a change to this bill, and I think, you know, kudos to the environmental NGOs and members of the public that rightfully understand that selling off conservation land to the highest bidder means we lose precious taonga that should be enjoyed for generations to come, and one that can often be a harbour for species that often are at risk of extinction or, you know, threat to biodiversity as well. So we're happy with the changes, but the bill needs to go.
You mentioned some of it there, the fact that conservation land could be sold into private ownership. What are the Green Party's main concerns about this, and also expanding more broadly the idea of selling large portions of public land, regardless of what it's used for, into private ownership?
Well, this is part of the issue, right? We've had different messages from the coalition in relationship to what the government intends to do with this bill, with New Zealand First basically very much flaunting that, for example, they do intend to use the provisions of the bill to basically allow for mining for critical minerals in areas that would have been at the moment used for conservation of biodiversity and our critical species. And so this is part of our concern. But the Green Party, like I said, is not just wanting an end to this bill. We think that more work needs to be done to, for example, ensure that we can restore the purposes of the Conservation Act, so conservation actually comes first, and to put an end to this government's approach to wanting to take our economy to one that depends on extractive mining, to one that, for example, restores our ability to manufacture things on shore. And this is why, instead of putting proposals like the government has done, we've instead put an industrial strategy to ensure that our economic development is one that actually can create long-term jobs and doesn't put nature at risk. It doesn't have to be nature against good, decent jobs and economic development. We can absolutely protect both.
And another bill we've also seen the government sort of backtrack on recently is the Fisheries Amendment Bill, which the Greens have also criticised at length. What are the key problems with this bill in your view?
Yeah, so while, again, we recognise another backdown from the government in terms of the pressure that they had against this bill. We were not just opposed to the removal of minimum size limits when it comes to this bill, but one of the other elements that remain is basically a provision that would make footage on board of commercial boats inaccessible under the Official Information Act. And this, in my view, further undermines the scrutiny and oversight of the fishing industry. And we've seen recently how this footage is critical to ensuring that we can hold commercial fishing companies accountable for the potential damage and the damage that they are already doing to our biodiversity. And so, again, this bill has been yet another handout to corporates and one that has not put the balance of making sure that economic development does not come at the expense of our biodiversity in our oceans, which is critical to protecting us against the impacts of climate change. But also biodiversity in our oceans is critical to ensuring that there is enough wildlife to ensure that we can actually have kaimoana for generations to come.
And both of these bills are sort of concerned around conservation and that sort of thing you mentioned there, right? Ensuring that our biodiversity is resilient going into the future. Are there any policies we can expect from the Green Party going into this year's election, looking at that, improving our conservation efforts in Aotearoa?
You'll be hearing more of this soon, but we've long and throughout this term have talked about how, for example, we are keen to supercharge the Jobs for Nature program to ensure that not only can we create thousands of jobs that look after our natural environment, but actually to have the people on the ground restoring biodiversity, or, for example, in urban areas, being able to restore streams that once harbored native biodiversity in areas like Mangere, where previously we would have had a huge range of biodiversity and a stream that also protected us against the impacts of flooding events. And so that's one example of the kind of policies that we want to secure in the next coalition so that people have access to good jobs and jobs that actually help protect our biodiversity and protect us against flooding events.
And next I want to talk about poll results. We've seen the One News Variant poll, I think, last week, and a new Roy Morgan poll this week as well, that have seen Opportunity close to or breaking that 5% threshold. Opportunity as a party has sort of been playing both sides a bit, but has some policies that are similar to some of the Greens' policies, especially on tax. Is the Green Party open to working with Opportunity in a coalition, and what might some of those agreements and disagreements look like, if so?
Yeah, look, I think it's early to make a call on whether we'll be able to work with them. I think the key message we're wanting to send to voters is that a vote for the Opportunity Party is a vote to potentially keep Luxon in power. We're not just campaigning to change the government, but wanting to bring about a government of real change, which is why we're pushing Labor on issues like tax reform, ensuring that we can tax wealth, that we actually fight to end poverty and adequately protect our natural environment. And for example, one of the key differences between us and Labor is that we want to ban bottom trawling, whereas Labor isn't committed to doing so. And with the Opportunity Party, all of that could be undermined by them choosing to go with Christopher Luxon and potentially the ACT Party or New Zealand First or both, because they simply do not have the numbers at the moment to kick out both of those coalition partners and go with National alone.
And also in your electorate, Mount Albert, the leader of Opportunity, Kule Wong, is planning on running. In last election, we saw that some of that vote split between you as a candidate and Helen White for Labor meant that the National Party candidate, Melissa Lee, was close to winning that electorate. It was one of the closest electorate votes we saw last election. Are there any concerns around splitting the vote even a third way that could lead to a contesting of the electorate that will just cause the National Party candidate to win?
No one owns any electorate, and the party vote is the one that actually decides who is in government. And so if you want a change of government and a government of change, only a party vote for the Green will guarantee that. But when it comes to the electorate, I'm actually really looking forward for what is going to be a competitive race. I think it's good that we have multiple candidates seriously contesting the seat, and the Greens are in it to win it in Mount Albert. I think when it comes to the concerns about the vote splitting, what I would say to that is that ultimately, incumbents have only themselves to blame for not being able to retain a seat. And this is why I think we'll be campaigning on what each of us can bring to bring about good representation. And like I said, the Greens are running a strong ground campaign, and our key message is that, again, no one is entitled to any electorate seat anywhere in the country.
And lastly, I want to touch on a bit of Opportunity's campaign strategy. Some of it has been down to especially ragging on the Greens a bit and saying, you know, they're a party like the Greens, but maybe more pragmatic, more policy-oriented. How would you respond to those criticisms? And what would your statement be to voters who are maybe taking some of this on board?
Look, if the Opportunity Party is concerned about us not being policy-oriented, they have not been paying attention. We've released series and series of policies that have been fully costed, independently reviewed. And again, what I'm concerned about the Opportunity Party is that they are willing to basically compromise on their values by going with a national-led government that would not enable them to basically enact most of the changes that they claim they want to do. And this tells me that they want power for power's sake. What we're campaigning for is to bring about real change that will see the wealthy few pay their fair share, where we can actually adequately protect our environment. And we've gone further than top in making it clear what our positions are when it comes to the sell-off of our conservation land or issues like bottom trawling. And ultimately, you just simply cannot trust a party that is willing to keep the current coalition in power, one that has been the most destructive to our natural environment, one that has seen record levels of homelessness in power. And we'll be making it clear to voters that if what they want is a change of direction, a change of government, you can trust the Greens to fight for that and deliver that in the next term of parliament.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March discussing changes to the Conservation Amendment Bill, backtracking on the Fisheries Amendment Bill and the party's frictions with the Opportunity Party.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.